Okay, so I guess I'll call the meeting to order then. And I'd like to start by acknowledging with gratitude that we are meeting today on the traditional and unceded lands of the Coast Salish people, and in particular, the Qualicum First Nation. We'll start with number one, adoption of the agenda. Do I have a mover? David? Seconder? Greg? Any comments?
Yeah. Hi. I just had to unmute myself there.
I thought you were looking intently at me.
Yeah. So just before we move on from the subject of the agenda, I wanted to point out that there's an error in item number 5, which is the status of recommendations from to council from the committee. The committee's recommendation came from our last meeting on the 24th of January, and that recommendation is in the draft minutes, of course, on page 3 of this agenda. And that recommendation did not include the words that right tree, right place principles. That was actually a subject we dealt with in a later motion. And so it shouldn't have been included in the wording of the recommendation that went to council. Now, I realize it went and council met, and an interim tree protection bylaw has been passed by council. So in a way, it's moot at this point. But I would just like the minutes from this meeting to reflect that wording shouldn't have been included in the recommendation on that particular recommendation.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So we have it right on page 3.
Yes.
That's the motion that should have been used. And the right tree, right place was the last motion.
Yeah.
And that one was adopted by council. So, yeah. But thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, according to the minutes of January 24th, I'm not present.
Oh, no.
But I did make a motion.
Oh, okay, well, we definitely have to look.
A lot of talent.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll make sure you're there.
I did just quickly note that before I came down, CAO Morello had mentioned that there was some sort of a mistake on the minutes, and she said, let everyone know that we're going to fix it. But she didn't know exactly what the problem was. So it sounds like there was some sort of a problem. So
yeah, it's not really a problem, but we'll just make sure that everyone...
I just want it minuted now so that we don't perpetuate the mistake in further, like the next time we meet, and then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry, can somebody explain to me? I'm not catching what the mistake was.
Okay, so the original motion that actually is reflected in the minutes, which should have gone forward as the motions to council, is on page, near the bottom of page 3, and it says, Kay Golden moved and D. Hopwood seconded that the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability recommends to Council that an interim tree protection bylaw based on the 2018 bylaw be implemented, and further that a new bylaw be created with public consultation. So that is the motion that should have gone at the bottom of the agenda here under status of recommendations to council. It says that from the regular council meeting March 22nd. So the motion that I just read out, if I understand correctly, Karen, is one that should have been at the bottom of that first motion under number 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then further on, there's the motion separately about the right tree, right place. So
that's on page 4. Yeah.
Yeah. So recommends to council that a right tree, right place concept be referred to the upcoming development permit regulation review under the next official community plan review. And that was adopted, and that was reflected in the information that went on the council agenda. So it was actually that right tree, right place was in two places, if I recall correctly. when we started the motion, we started adding all these things to the motion, and then we said, whoa, wait a minute, look, we backed up, and we did them then as separate motions, and so that's how we came up with the four recommendations, rather than trying to squeeze them all in the one recommendation. So I think that's where some of the confusion came. And I will try to do my best as we go forward to make sure that the recommendations are read out and that everyone's clear.
Thank you.
People making the motion, the people recording the motion, that we have it right. So I will try to be better. Well, okay.
Okay,
so the adoption of the agenda, and maybe we can just have something to reflect, should we say as amended? Or just as noted or something?
I think the agenda was okay.
Well, there's a section of the agenda that reflects that wrong wording, so that's where I thought.
Yeah, that's why it's confusing, I think.
So let's do it as amended.
Okay.
Thank you. And all those in favor? Okay, looks like everyone's in favor. Okay, so that carries unanimously. And then we're on to approval of the minutes. Do I have a mover? For the minutes? As amended. Right? Because we want to make sure that David's present. So, again, that would be as amended.
I didn't even get a link to it.
Actually, found it to me.
Okay. So, mover to adopt the minutes as amended. David, you're okay with that?
Yeah.
I'll move that. Okay. And do we have a seconder? Someone? Greg? Okay, thank you. And all those in favor? Everybody? Okay, great. Thank you. It carries then. Business arising from the minutes. We have field trip findings and future field trips to explore examples of what a successfully implemented urban forest master plan can do for the community. So have we made any progress on those things? No. We'll just keep them on for now, and as the weather is starting to improve, maybe we can...
A field trip would be great, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The field trip findings, I wonder if we ever get that sorted out from the debt.
No, there was going to be a discussion about what had come out of your
research. Okay, so maybe for next time we can just make sure that everyone has a copy of the information that was provided by our residents about solar panels and battery packs and all of those things. So we'll just do that. So we'll keep those on under business arising from the minutes, and we can revisit them again at the next meeting. Okay, so recommendations from council. A, we dealt with at the January 24th meeting. So those were the recommendations that went forward to council. So we're on to B now, which is in relation to the climate emergency declaration and what potential actions might look like. And so what was referred to the committee was that council refers the topic of climate change mitigation to the Select Committee on Environment and Sustainability for recommendations for climate mitigation actions. This is a big topic.
Where do we start?
Where do we start? Good question. I don't know if people have some ideas, if people have been thinking about that. Maybe we could just go around and share if anyone has any ideas. And I just wanted to... maybe update council as well that the tree bylaw has now been adopted. So that was done last Friday, and so just to update the committee that we have the bylaw in place, and there will be an opportunity for the community to review within a year to look at the bylaw, how it's working, and there'll be an opportunity for input to changes or suggested recommendations or requirements. So, and I'm sure those will come from both the community and maybe staff and council as well. So, okay, back to mitigation, climate mitigation action. So does anybody?
Well, I just wanted to acknowledge Marianne's comments. Since she's not here, maybe we could just incorporate them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I printed them off.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. Bernadette, do you happen to have some? I didn't print them off. Probably should have printed off everything else.
They're in the email, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want me to forward them to, or should we just read them?
Sure. If you could just.
Okay. So, looking forward to the following comments, the other members of the committee as my climate change mitigation recommendations. Number one, protect and enhance the existing urban forest through policies to retain large mature native trees. These will function as a cool quality beach during high summer temperatures expected by climate change projections, and retain water throughout the year. Number two, promote further cooling of Pelican Beach through planting native species as street trees, while further contributing towards cooling, trees on road allowances make streets more pedestrian friendly. Three, discourage driving and encourage walking and cycling by installing more bike lanes on both sides of streets on routes into the village. Second, slowing traffic through the set through the town by reducing speed limits. Third, installing crosswalks wherever pedestrians are crossing to beaches or traveling into the village.
Okay. That's great.
She made one more.
A late adder, right?
Yeah.
Oh, about noise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, leaf blower. But,
yeah, in response.
So she says, I don't know, she's got two emails. So in response to, and then your email about the climate caucus.
Right.
She has a response to that. And then in response to, yes, you talking, and yeah, article a resident forwarded to me last year. That's about leaf blowers. Do you want me to read that one? Or
yeah, she had a few comments about maybe it's hard to enforce or something, so it would be interesting.
Yeah. She just said one way for Pelican Beach to regulate leaf blowers would be to mitigate, would be to limit decibel levels in the noise bylaw. This is what Vancouver has done, but it's difficult to enforce. Individual citizens must demand to see the decibel rating on the leaf blower, then phone bylaw officer. Yeah. In ultimate, if it exceeds the limit, in my experience, the leaf blower operators simply refuse to provide that information. However, in smaller communities like Pelican Beach, it's not in work.
Yeah. I think she's right, though. Enforcement on that one's going to be challenged. I think maybe the comment about planting street trees, that would be a good one for our field trip. We were going to go look at some of the examples of urban forest and canopy. So,
Mayor Westbrook did mention to me, but that wasn't a public remark, but after our meeting when the tree bylaw was passed, he did say that since we're going into April and May, as far as initiating this costing, that it was originally costing out at $100,000, that possibly it would only be about $70,000 for the tree bylaw, and maybe $30,000 could be used towards tree planting. And so I had said, we're also recognizing Community in Blooms as a non-competing community. And so I said, okay, and the color is purple this year, so lilac bushes. And they're perennial, they're fairly hardy. So, but it was to bring it to this committee here to scope out best places to plant
lavender,
something like that. Yeah, and lavender would be nice too.
I think what we ended up doing today at the committee as a whole, though, was to approve, instead of doing the 70-30, was to approve just funding for half the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have that extra buffer of for tree planting. I do know there's a request from stream keepers to do some tree planting in the Grandin Creek area. And the idea is to try to get the trees at little to no cost. I don't know. Somebody's got connections or there's different programs, I guess, out there. But
There's some federal programs that the million trees.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my idea. We're kind of moving into the later part of tree planting season because you don't want to have them during the summertime where you're out there watering them all of the time.
And also possibly in developments, especially like the commercial ones with the parking lots, that we could also plant some trees there for shading for the cars and other benefits. Like oak trees are pretty hardy with the broad leaves and stuff. I'm thinking the bus garage.
Oh, okay.
Because on some commercial properties, bones, you need a suitable volume of growing media to support a healthy plant.
Yeah.
And in some cases, there's just not that available. It's a great idea, but there's limitations on private property developments.
Yeah.
But certainly, I think we should bring probably a little mini report back to council on what we're doing in East Village, because we are implementing some state-of-the-art tree planting technology down there that we've sort of taken from there. So,
oh, good news. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe you could present
us. Or if even, depending on if it's state and access to the site, that could be also part of a field trip.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be good.
Get involved in successfully planting and maintaining these so they don't push up our sidewalks and everything else when you cut them down 10 years later.
Exactly. Well, that's my concern when you start planting in the parking lots, too, is that you have all the roots and then uneven pavement and tripping hazards and whatnot. So it has to be done.
I'll look it up because I did see something about
Some trees make better street trees in that regard than others too. So that takes some research and some activity.
Yeah.
And I think how close do you want to stick to the native tree?
Right.
Put things in motion. Because maybe they might not be native, but they might be suitable. And with a changing biogeoclimatic zone, do we really want to stick with what's native or should you be anticipating what will be?
Yeah.
Apparently bamboo trees are supposed to be the best tree to plant, but
they're with bamboo
trees. You have to contain them. That's
the art. Look, I can't leave the gates in houses and stuff, but I mean, in the open it won't survive, right? Because they're too cold.
Careful what you wish for.
With regard to the climate, we'll get back to the climate mitigation action. So, okay, we talked about tree planting. That's one thing. And we've added that maybe a visit to the East Village as part of our field trip. I think that would be great to learn more about that process and how that's done. David, do you have any comments or thoughts?
And it's sort of a sort of wider scope. I took a look at those two links that you provided to us, and the city toolkit for sustainable communities and so on and so forth. And I guess what occurred to me is that given the town, which has limited resources, and that a number of those resources are already committed more or less for the next 2 or 3 years or 4 years, that there are limited things which the town can do, but there's a lot probably that the community can do with town leadership.
Right.
And I think the leadership doesn't necessarily have to be that costly. Just basically look at how we, not only how we use the environment, but how we consume as well. and I think there's a lot of there seems to be a lot of movement in that area, like the circular economy, which they're looking at in Nanaimo, and there's a lot of other communities, and there are other organizations which have done research on this, which would pertain probably to us, which we might want to investigate a little further. But getting the community engaged, to me, seems, I mean, the town can do all it wants, but you're dragging this huge group of people with you and trying to get them to change, and given the demographic of our community, change is not one of those, you know, capital C, capital H, capital A, in words. So I think that's another dimension that we should be taking a look at. It's all very well to say, you know, the local government should do this, they should do this, this should do, what am I paying my taxes for? But if you're not willing to change some of the ways in which you do your own business, that really compromises whatever the local government can do.
Yeah.
So I think more education, and not sort of necessarily top down and say you should do this, you should do that, but just simply getting people to think about, you know, what they are consuming. And I guess every time I go into QF and I go into the produce section, there's this comes from Mexico, this comes from Peru, this comes from Australia. You know, not only, I mean, California is almost local now, you know, when you compare it to all the other produce. And I know locally grown produce tends to be more expensive, even regarding the transportation from California into Mexico and so on. But maybe there's some way we can be encouraging local food marketers to try and access and encourage more local produce. Now, I know we have the farmers market and so on, but that only caters to so many people. And unfortunately, a lot of the produce in the farmers market is pretty fresh, but it's more expensive than a lot of people probably feel they can handle. So there's a lot of issues there, I think, that we need to, in total, be taking a look at. And planting trees is important. I'm not denigrating that at all. But there's a lot of this other stuff, which I think is probably in the long term is just as important, because we're tending to look at things like emissions and so on locally. Well, atmosphere is not local.
Yeah.
I mean, it's global. And whatever we do here, I mean, that's just the old adage, you know. Think global, act local.
Right.
You know, so that's my sermon.
Yeah. No. I think I was kind of on a similar track with some of my thinking, and about maybe like starting kind of smaller and around public education. And one of the things that came up at the last, the council open house that I attended earlier in the month was maybe there's a way for us to help our residents through the process of, let's say, purchasing a new heat pump.
Yeah.
And that was something, like, one of the residents had just gone through that experience and had done all the research on, you know, how to apply for rebates and where to apply and who you can get the rebates through. And just having that sort of as a guide for residents who are interested, because, you know, heat pumps, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it would certainly help with lowering emissions, and it's one of the things that our Fridays for the Future have spoken to us about. It's about public safety and public health as well, right? Having that cooling in the summertime as well as the heat in the winter. I don't know. I just thought that was, and then the other one I was thinking about too was food, and that came from that consumption-based emissions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, food was the third ranking
one.
And, you know, food security, I think, is really important, and we do have a lot of ALR land in Qualica Beach, and what can we be doing with it? But, yeah, so I was kind of going along some of the similar lines and not making a big, because we've just been through the budgeting process, and there hasn't been a lot of money set aside for these kinds of things. So how do we utilize, our volunteers, our community knowledge, and human capital, I guess.
Well,
sorry, go ahead, Jean.
Mr. Lucci commented at the committee of the whole today when he said that he looked at our strategic plan and that we have food supply slated for 2026, so we're not really addressing it right away, remember?
Yeah.
And certainly that was really nice for him to focus and wake us up on that, and the food supply is so important, and yet we've just talked about like trying to educate our people, our fellow residents, and why couldn't we have educated them about saving a tree, not cutting down a tree, instead of spending the whatever amount of money, like if it was for the whole year, it was booked out to be $100,000 for being tree police. Like, you know, we, at the end of the day, we still have to inform the people about the tree bylaw. Could we not have trusted our fellow residents to be savvy enough to embrace the fact that climate change is here right now, it's here yesterday as well, and we need to really focus and deal with it and smarten up and stop cutting the trees down. And we would not have to take money out of the budget to be regulating our tree canopy when we could have been using some of that money possibly to plant trees or do something that's more positive. So, but, you know, I
think that's a tough road to hold, because much of our, and once again, looking at the demographics in our community, it's in the way to get rid of it. Cut it down or bulldoze it down or whatever. And that's a mentality which is, for I think a lot of people is really well ingrained, but I think it's worthwhile encouraging people to keep and show them ways in which they can keep, but
because if
I think we need both. Yeah, we need both tools.
Yeah.
Well, I just think that if we don't give them the benefit of the doubt to be more savvy about it, then it would mean the same thing if we're trying to talk to them about our food supply issue, because it would also still kind of fall on half-interested ears.
Well, maybe there's things we could do that would entice people. Like I know, like with taxes, some of the farming, if you actually farm your land, then you pay a much lower tax rate, right? So there are those things, like not just like the stick and the carrot, right? So trying to entice with the carrot. But maybe we should hear from some of the people that are joining us virtually. So Karen, you want to jump in?
Well, I did want to say something about food, because when I watched that video you sent along for everyone, I was struck by the amount of food waste, how high food waste ranks in terms of emission, the effect on emissions. And there's maybe a carrot there, you know, like if you'll pardon the pun.
Well done.
You know, it you save money if you don't waste food. And yeah. And we are a very wasteful culture. So if we're talking about public education, and that was one of my little focus areas too, was that more like public engagement or encouragement than education, I guess. Like, is there a way to get some of these messages out there in a way that makes it more, that we normalize the kinds of behaviors that we know we need to all be doing, rather than, so when your neighbor, you know, takes out his paved driveway and puts down gravel, he's not a weirdo, you know, because that's a permeable surface and that's a good thing. Or he puts his garden beds in his front yard instead of his backyard, or plants wildflowers in the part of his yard in the front, and it's not a nice tidy lawn anymore, that we start to normalize those kinds of things, encouraging people that those things are advantageous to combating climate change. And if you're not thinking along those lines, maybe it sparks some thought about that stuff. I also just wanted to say that I think that we don't really lack ideas. We have a ton of ideas. There's ideas all the time. And every time you Google anything to do with climate change, you come up with more studies and more great ideas from other places. What we need is, what we're maybe lacking is the focus and commitment on the great ideas we've already got. Like, we have, you know, talked about different standards for new builds and retrofits that involve, you know, permeable paving or roof water catchment or on-site water retention or energy efficient construction, and we're not enforcing those. Now, I'm not an expert on this kind of stuff, but I know there are experts on those things, and maybe we should be putting some more energy into making those things part of our normal requirements for building, rather than just pie in the sky sort of ideas that we'd like to do someday. And then my third one was the integration of natural assets into asset management and financial planning. I mean, that's been talked about at this committee before, and certainly it's in the literature. Anytime you look, other municipalities and towns have done it. Gibson's, of course, is a prime example. And so it's a good way for local government to take the lead, I think. So,
yeah. I think it's definitely part of the budget document.
It is.
That far now. So,
it's not fleshed out. So, there are good resources for how to do it. I mean, I don't have to tell the experts about that, but I mean, there's lots of info out there. So,
yeah.
I have some great links. I can send them to Bernadette if she wants to throw them in the minutes, but I'm sure most people here are aware of them. You know, like the Partnership for Water Sustainability in BC has a great thing about natural asset management, particularly with reference to stream systems. So,
okay. Thank you, Karen. More food for thought. Greg, do you want to chime in?
Okay, I just needed to unmute myself first there.
Yeah.
One of the things about going near the end is a lot of what I heard already was stuff that I either totally agree with or was about to say myself. So I did look at that sustainability action plan that the link was sent around for, and I think a lot of the actual ideas on objectives, targets, whatever there are, you know, that one would want to have in terms of climate change mitigation are already in there. It looks like there was a lot of good work done there. So, to me, at this point, you know, as somebody previously said, you've got maybe a population here that, due to the demographics, doesn't perhaps embrace change as much as one might hope. But I think really there's probably a lot of people out there that would consider change if it was easy. They knew how to do it, and possibly it was something that might even benefit them directly in terms of saving the money. So So I think, you know, the one example that was given there was, you know, talking about education in terms of heat pumps. And yeah, I just, you know, totally agree with that approach. I know there's programs out there. I, you know, there's various rebates and whatnot, but you know, you have to kind of be a little bit comfortable using the internet to surf around and figure out what's the best way to do it and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of our population may not fall into that category. So it might be kind of an easy thing for the city to do to pull up some of that stuff together. You know, go through a few sample calculations and show what, you know, potential there is for how long it would take to recover your investment, that sort of thing. So yeah, I think the education is just something that, you know, could be done relatively easily. And I think the focus of the education really should be on, hey, you know, here are some easy things that you can do to help us move towards where we want to go here, rather than, hey, this is what you should do. You know, so anyway, yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from on this, and I think it's fairly compatible with what a couple of others have said already.
I like that idea of asking our residents for their help, because if you do that, it's like, you know, when you're raising a child, you know, if you ask them for your help, they're more likely to get on board. You know, they feel like they're contributing. But if you tell them to do something, then that's a different story. Different reaction, too, yeah. Right? Yeah. Don, do you want to? Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, thank you. I'll share a few thoughts. My first thought is that this is a very, very big subject and one that's, I will say, vitally important in the true meaning of the word vital, that is to do with life, because what happens in the next 10 years in terms of emissions will determine, well, that the people who are being born or young today will have a chance to live their lives to the age we are, or who may face, on the other hand, a high risk of early death because of the climate catastrophe, which threatens to cause hundreds of millions of premature deaths through all kinds of dire mechanisms, from direct exposure to heat, to flooding, to forest fires, to famine, to all kinds of horrible things. So what we're talking about here is vitally important. And I certainly hope as a committee we'll take the time and the energy to do our best to be thorough, diligent, to be ambitious, and to work very carefully. So I think that before we get too deep into talking about individual or specific actions that can be taken, we should take some time to structure our own process around how we want to address this. Certainly, I don't think that we can do a good job in this in less than 100 hours of committee time. I think to try and do that in, you know, two or three meetings would be fraudulent and unethical, to say that, you know, we can address this. I mean, 100 hours comes over my head. Maybe it's 50 hours, maybe it's 200 hours, but it's a huge job, and it requires that we inform ourselves, that we take the time to go through a lot of information, and that we weigh through it carefully, organize it carefully, and present it, package it in ways that council can use and the community can use. So we want to talk about our commitment to that. And maybe people disagree with me on that time frame. But I'd like to structure our process around a couple of things. One is a quantitative approach. Like, the problem is with climate change is primarily greenhouse gas emissions. So we need to look at what are the major sources of greenhouse gas emissions. And I'll just briefly talk about a little cautionary tale. You know, for 3 years, the School District 69 had a climate action task force, and I went to half a dozen meetings of this climate action task force. And the main thing they talked about was recycling plastic bottles and prop cans. Now, if you look at, that's because it's something that the teachers could do with the kids. Well, let's recycle. Let's get into doing that. But if you look at where the emissions are coming from school district operations, it's basically 3/4 of the emissions come from burning gas to heat the schools, and 1/4 comes from burning diesel to run the school buses. And everything else, including waste and food and all those other things add up to a few percent. So there was all this time and effort went into talking about something that could only, at best, reduce this district's emissions by 1 or 2%. And not that I'm saying recycling is unimportant. Obviously, it is. But if you don't address the big issues, you won't succeed in making the reductions in emissions that are necessary. So I think that it would be useful for us to think about what are the big sources of emissions that happen in our town. And, of course, that webinar that Anne forwarded to us about the emissions that we sort of import into our town through the food and products that we buy from elsewhere. So let's be quantitative about that, and let's sort of set some priorities for ourselves that are proportional to the size of the emission reductions that can be made, or the potential emission reductions. And I'd like to also structure our thinking about this around a time frame. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change recently released what they call their synthesis report, suggesting that if there's any hope of holding global climate temperature increase to below 1.5 degrees, we have to cut our emissions in half by 2030 and get pretty close to zero before 2050. And then even if we're satisfied with 2 degrees, which would be catastrophic for many people, many hundreds of millions of people would be catastrophic. Even if we're satisfied with 2 degrees, we have to half our emissions before 2040 and get to zero not long after 2050. So structure our thinking around that time frame. And finally, structure our thinking realizing that we are a committee that serves at the pleasure of the council. Structure our thinking around what actions can the council take, and we've talked about something, carrots and sticks, or regulations, incentives, some things the town can do directly in its own operations, some things the town can do as an advocate to other levels of government, and things the town can do in terms of promoting public awareness and public education. So if we kind of get all our ideas out there on a big piece of paper and then sort them into what mode of actions they fit in with, then we can start to structure how we would like to recommend these actions go forward. Whether they, like an action that I would recommend is no new hookups of gas to new buildings. New buildings should be heated by heat pumps. So that's kind of a regulation that the town can bring in. Another thing is the town's own fleet of vehicles. Can we have a time frame to convert that to vehicles that don't emit carbon dioxide through burning fossil fuel? Can we have a timeline and a strategy for that? So that's one of the town's own actions. An example of advocacy to government. Right now, the BC provincial government has consultation open on a transportation strategy. And the question of will there be public bus service on Vancouver Island is on the table. So that's something the town could advocate to the provincial government. We'd like to see public bus service because there's a lot of people in this town who need to go down to Victoria from time to time. And right now the only option that's feasible really is to get in your car and drive there. But we could have bus service. That's something that provincial government could make it happen, even though this council can't make it happen. And finally, we've had, you know, conversations about public outreach, advocacy, and awareness, so we could sort all our actions into those four silos, I think, and keeping in mind the time frame and the priorities that are structured around the magnitude of emissions that are at stake. I hope that it's a helpful way to kind of step back from specific ideas and talk about how to address the overall task at hand. Thanks.
Well, I like the way you divided it up into the different actions so that the municipality is able to take, right, and having regulations, incentives, advocacy, and awareness. I do like that. I kind of see things maybe as two things. Like maybe there's some quicker, shorter, short-term wins that we could work towards, but also maybe a longer-term strategy. And that, like having a net, a plan to get to net zero, right? Like that's what I sort of see what you're talking about there, Doug, where we look at where our emissions are and how would we get there. I think our sustainability action plan, well, it started out having those kinds of targets, but then it wasn't really adhered to. And I think when I look back on the sustainable action plan, it does kind of feel like a document that was written in 2011. Like the world has changed quite a bit since that document was written. So I think in some areas it's closer to reality, and in other areas it hasn't really followed what's been happening in our world. And maybe I'll just ask the director of planning if you have sort of a general idea about where those emissions are taking place in our community. That's for Doug's point there, if we can.
Yeah, so the last sort of accurate assessment that we had would have put about two-thirds, almost 70% of our emissions in transportation, and then the other one-third, you know, approximately in heating and cooling. And even though it's been years, I would bet quite a bit that we're very close to that proportion still. Right, you know, vehicles have gotten a little bit more efficient, but so have homes, right? So I think that split is largely the same. So that's certainly, you know, I think I really like the way that Doug sort of framed the question, in that we, you know, you diagnose the issues and then you try to identify those areas where you have the most leverage and kind of strategically develop some programs or something around that. So, from my perspective of building out the transportation network and trying to get people out of their cars, or, you know, walking to school or to work or whatever that might be, huge benefits, really benefits. And then the other 30%, there is some low-hanging fruit, like heat pumps or building retrofits.
When you talk about those numbers, is that for the whole community or is that for the municipality?
That's right, that's for the whole community. Yeah, the municipality, the corporation itself is much smaller, almost all transportation, right, vehicles running around.
I wonder if there would be some opportunities through our quality of life survey to maybe get a bit more input on some of these questions. Like when we talk about transportation, there are quite a few people in town now who have already made the switch to electric vehicles, and it would be interesting to sort of know if that's having any impact, or, you know, is it enough, or do we have a target that we would want to get to? I did raise the issue this morning about electrifying our fleet, so that's kind of on the radar. I guess it is already, but certainly if I were to be going out and buying a new vehicle now, I wouldn't be buying a gas consumption vehicle. At the bare minimum, it would be a hybrid, right? And I know maybe in pickup trucks, that technology hasn't evolved as quickly as.
But it has to do with cost. I mean, many people cannot even afford our rent or to buy a house. And so then to get one of these newer cars, that's, you know, on a bucket list. It's not easily attainable.
Yeah.
I just like to point out that we were an early adopter. We had a 90 even before the city of Vancouver, and they were like flag waivers. And we do have a vehicle for the building inspector because we found a vehicle at a reasonable cost that performs the function. So our eye is on the market to do it. And one thing I wanted to say this morning, I didn't get a chance to, an area where we have found that the market is suitable for our applications is in the handheld devices used by the Parks Group, where they've adopted a lot of rechargeable things like leaf blowers and stuff. And some of those two-cycle engines that burn a mixed gas are some of the worst polluters. they're way worse than most cars. So, I mean, like, where we can, we do. And I think that the crew has really, really embraced them. And they like the fact that they're quiet.
Right.
So,
I mean, for their own ears.
Yeah. So, like, we're trying,
yeah.
But we're also trying to be very responsible with our budgets, you know? So, anyway.
Yeah. I wonder, sorry, just thinking out loud that, yeah, some of those successes or learnings that our parcel market has kind of gleaned and trying out stuff, I wonder whether our residents like the, you know, like have an open house and like say, well, here's what we're using.
Well, the public works open house
is a good opportunity, and you said big posters about
that. Yeah, maybe we should be really plugging that,
yeah.
And maybe really highlighting that electric, the switch to electric on some of those things.
And I was going to suggest that perhaps when there is another poll shows, that the town perhaps could have a display booth there, which sort of demonstrates what they've been doing, and the ease of perhaps people switching, and also too, rather than just throwing away your old gas guzzling leaf blower, have some sort of program perhaps where people can recycle.
Well, we've got lots of things out on the table here, lots of conversation. Any thoughts about sort of next steps, or like one of the things that we would normally do is make a recommendation to council and then sort of get council's blessing on, you know, if we did want to undertake trying to come up with that, maybe that plan to net zero or like that bigger long term, you know, that would take quite a commitment from the committee. And so we would need council's blessing, I think, to proceed on doing something like that. And I don't know whether it would be the whole committee or members of the committee, like in the past with the tree protection bylaw, you know, there were specific members that went off and kind of did some work, and then like a subcommittee. And,
my thought was that, you know, as we've heard, there's so many different directions that we could take this this topic, this referral from council.
Yeah.
What I think would be the most successful path forward is if we can take on one project, you know, as a committee, and like really try to detail what that would look like. So, for example, if it's exploring the way that the town could showcase electric power tools, I mean, that's just something we just talked about, or vehicles, or if it's a showcase project about how we can green our streets through tree planting. You know, I try to, as a group, come together and say, why don't we tackle that project? Then we could go back to council with a recommendation saying the environment committee would like to spend time focusing on this project, and maybe there's even some resources that the town is still behind it. So in terms of next steps, which is the question asked, I think maybe we could, everyone could think about what that one project would be that the town could undertake. Okay. In your experience or observations of other municipalities, like what's the one most effective thing that a municipality can do, and come back together and think, and as a group, you know, talk about it, and then maybe there is a recommendation that we can move forward with a single project and really try to make progress.
And I think we've got to meet more often.
I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I would think probably once a month minimum. I can't see if we're going to be doing some planning and maybe even devolve into a subcommittee or two and so on. We've got to be a little more nimble in terms of bringing things together, I think.
Yeah. Would members of the committee be willing to work on something like a campaign, let's say, about the electric equipment, changing to electric equipment?
Mm-hmm.
Is that something like a subcommittee might be interested in working on? Karen, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff. But I really like the idea of doing something that we can all get behind and raise the profile of some of these issues with the community a little bit. And I think that what Luke was saying about finding one project that we can really, really move forward on together, that you build credibility that way. You look like you're trying. There's cooperation going on. It's a positive thing. And certainly there's always room for more discussions about other objectives, but I would really like to see us do something. So if that's the something that we all agree is, I'll do what I can to facilitate it, to put something together, you know, with someone else's help, of course, but I don't have any expertise in that area, but
okay.
You know.
You have enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Okay, Doug.
Yeah, I totally see the benefit in doing something and taking on a project and doing it. But it's also important to remember that if we're going to avoid catastrophic climate change, doing one thing is not a success. We have to do everything. We have to reduce all sources of emissions. We have to cut our emissions in half by the end of this decade. That is a huge challenge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So let's not deliberately set out to fail. Let's not deliberately say we can't succeed. Let's just do something that looks like we're doing something. But let me be clear. The emissions that come from handheld garden tools amount to considerably less than 1% of the total emissions that are happening in this community of carbon dioxide, which is the greenhouse gas. Now, Bob is quite right that those two-stroke engines produce a lot of other nasty emissions, and it would be wonderful to get them out of our gardens, but they don't produce a lot of CO2 because they have small engines and they don't run for hours and hours every day. So it's a little bit to me like what happened with the school district where they focused on recycling and didn't look at the big ticket items. So just let's remember, this is our grandchildren's lives that are at stake here. What do you do when somebody says, do you care if your children or grandchildren get to live? You don't say, oh, let's do something. You say, let's do what's necessary. And if we're not taking that perspective towards this issue, we're kidding ourselves about the nature of the climate emergency. And, I'm happy if we can do sort of an overall assessment, what are the big ticket items? I mean, Luke has already told us that transportation and building heating are the two big ones. And, you know, of course, the town can only do so much about those things, but let's ask ourselves, first of all, what can we do about those two things? If we're going to do a project, let's do a project that has something to do with those two things. And, because those are the big ticket items. And am I making sense here that, it's not exactly that there's no point doing the little things, but it's not adequate to do the little things. You have to do the big things.
So, but maybe doing a public education campaign on something different then, like maybe heat pumps or wherever we see is the biggest.
How about this? If we start by getting us all of us in the room together and maybe have like a 4-hour workshop and, pieces of paper up on the board and say, what are all the issues? Let's organize all this and let's get a big map of the whole challenge that we're looking at, and then ask ourselves, is this something the town, Qualicum and Beach Council can do anything about or not? And if so, is it just purely awareness and advocacy, or is it more regulation? And then let's, by all means, you do see one thing at a time. So Luke's point about doing something, I agree with that. But if we just pick one thing almost at random and just do that, then we're not really, it's got to be informed by that sense of what the big issues are and how what we're doing fits into that big map of getting to the required emission reductions within the required time frame.
And we continue to educate, like the 70% that's caused by transportation, 30% from heating and cooling, continue to educate that. And then I'm sounding redundant and maybe crazy, but plant trees so that the generations, 20 years from now, will have those big trees. But we really can't tell someone to, you know, go out and buy a hybrid car or electric car. Personally myself, it's not in my budget. When the heating and cooling, you know, educate people so those ones that are homeowners can do that kind of thing. It's not really in our control to tell people what to drive or how to heat out their home. But education, and then we as a community plant the trees to help us be in a better air and for the future.
Well, I think definitely public education is important. Whichever direction we're going, that's going to play a role. I think to Doug's point, if we want to have a 4-hour session where we like just hash this out, then we will need support from council to do that. So to have a facilitator and whatnot. So, you know, if the committee wants to do that, then we would need to make a recommendation to council requesting their support to go ahead and in this direction.
What might that cost if you have a facilitator
for the day? I don't know. $200 versus
well, more than that, but not you know, that's the right number of zeros.
But well, do have people in the community. We've got a lot of people with a lot of experience through our grapevine. Do we have people in the community who could fulfill that
role?
Yeah, I mean, that's mostly for, you know, a bit of an honorarium, but maybe would be willing to donate that time, volunteer that time.
Possibly. Sometimes there's a benefit to an outfit part coming in.
Yeah. I guess you're keeping you focused.
Yeah.
Because I think, to me, I like what Doug says about the quantitative approach. And like, you know, Luke's data, it's like, you've got to identify and show to people, like, these are the big items. This is where we need to eat away at. Now, you know, who can do the eating away at? Like, maybe it's not all the town, or maybe the town can contribute by saying, you know what, like, we could really do something about vehicles if we had more facilities like our East-West Connector, but going to different parts of the community or something. Or, you know, so start with a quantitative approach, and because I think otherwise I could see sitting down for 4 hours and, like, you know, wanting to shoot myself at the end of it. Like,
or shoot me, maybe.
Even if there isn't, let's say, okay, so maybe we're able to find someone to help us, and there's not a huge financial. Just help me. We're still going to need council's approval to send us off in that direction, right? Because council's looking to us to provide the advice. So if we're going off in some area that they don't maybe see the benefit in, then there's no point, right? So we need to craft a motion to send back to council to get sort of the blessing, I guess, to proceed in that direction. And then we figure out how to make it happen. So,
Google the person, Google the facilitator.
Well, no, there's types of people.
Okay, to your AI bot.
What about the Committee on Environment and Sustainability recommend to council that the Environment Committee undertake a half-day facilitated workshop to prioritize climate change actions, and that the workshop be resourced with a budget of $1,000?
Sounds fair to me.
Yeah.
Bernadette, are you going to be able to get that motion?
I can move back to you, Sean.
Doug, does that kind of fit where you were headed? Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, sorry to be spending your money so freely. I didn't realize $1,000 would be the price tag, but I suppose you're right when you come down to it. But, yeah, I think that is a worthwhile thing to do, but I'd like to hear from Karen and Greg and Dave if they like this approach, because it's kind of been my idea so far.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like the idea of brainstorming, right? Like just getting in that room and just throwing everything out there and then see what sticks and where things go.
Karen, is it just the committee or do we invite, is it a wider forum than that?
That's a good question.
I don't get a vote, but I'd say this is a
start with just
it'll be really hard to manage. As Jean, I know we appear to be disagreeing on this one, but just as a starting point,
I would like to make sure that there is a youth member or a representative from the youth in attendance, and maybe even Tegan, given her current parliamentary petition about consulting youth when we're talking about carbon emissions and whatnot, so a carbon reduction. Greg, do you have any thoughts? Are you good with this? We'll need to get you to unmute.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, great. Okay, so all those in favor of the motion as dictated by Luke?
Can we just hear it again? Yep. I just would like to hear it read first.
Okay, the preamble is that the Environment Sustainability Committee recommends to Council that the Environment Sustainability Committee undertake a half-day facilitation workshop to prioritize climate change action, and the workshop be resourced for a cost of $1,000.
No more than that? Yeah.
Yeah. Up to $1,000.
Up to. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Luke said facilitated, not facilitation.
So, Luke, why would you say not open to the public?
I think that the people in this room already have a ton of ideas, and I just, facilitating large groups of people has a lot of complexity. So if our goal is to come up with a product in a reasonable amount of time, there's a point of where you have too many people in the room and it becomes counterproductive. Like, Jean, if we could dedicate 7 workshops, then I would say yes, let's invite the public. But if we're going to start with one and try to really make some progress, it's too hard with large groups of people.
And if we come up with something that's really great, maybe that's something that we could put out in the quality of life survey. And then we would get feedback from our residents as well, right?
Yes, my thought is just that we have so many retired professionals in our community that possibly they would maybe see this as an opportunity for them to contribute.
Well, they can certainly get involved once they start taking the action, right? There'll be plenty of opportunity for
it will come back to council again, right?
Yeah.
As a recommendation, there will be recommendations that come out of it that will then go to council, and then that's where it gets.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So can we have a vote then on the recommendation? All those in favor? Oh, do we have a mover? I guess we need a mover. Who's going to move it? Don, do you want to move it? Your idea? Sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone seconds. Who?
I can't vote. Can I?
No. Yeah, David seconds. Okay, all those in favor? Great. Unanimous. Okay. So that could go on the next council agenda.
April 12th? I can't see corporate administration.
But we should have. It's pretty close. I think there's enough time, lead time maybe, to get that on. Anyways, we'll try for the 12th to see if we can get it on the agenda. Okay. Any other comments or anything on that topic before we move on?
Oh, I just want to say, I don't know when Marion's back. But
right.
It's important to involve the whole thing. Right. So, yeah.
Well, it'll probably take a while. By the time it goes to council.
Yeah.
We should be okay. Okay, good. Okay, so the status of the recommendations to council, that's just housekeeping, new business, watershed protection, and how it interacts with RDN. Anybody want to jog my memory on that?
So we participate and fund something called the Drinking Water Watershed Protection Program at the RDN. And it's fully staffed and quite a, I don't know how to select the right word, but anyway, they do a lot of work. I sit on that committee and part of the review committee for it. So it's not like we have any independent initiative that we have to undertake, but I just don't think that a lot of their work gets out to us or even back to council. So I can talk to them about that and like more presentation or more presentation materials or even just sharing and circulating some of the materials they have done. And I know the girl that really runs it is off on maternity leave right now, that she's been replaced. And, you know, it's still running well, but, you know, it's not really running on all cylinders.
Right.
Yeah. But it's an excellent program. They do, like, water quality initiatives. They do all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So.
How many people were on the committee when they presented to, we had a small presentation to the committee on that? Was everybody?
I was here.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one I came to, I think.
Okay.
A little overwhelming.
Yeah.
Isn't it something that Marion raised? Because she hadn't been part of that.
Okay, so Marion has. But it would be good to get an update anyway, because there's always more information coming, so. But I, personally, I'm a little concerned, like we need a lot of rain between now and summer. I don't know, like I'm walking around my neighborhood and ditches that are normally full of water right now are bone dry, and the animals that usually are there are, I don't know where they are, but
yeah,
no, I'm concerned. So anyways, it could be timely.
Yeah, and I know the camp, like in, I see Carolyn all the time because we're up there to our cabin, and it's lower than I've ever seen it this time of year.
I know, it's crazy.
Although, the interesting thing is that our level logger in Berwick Wells has never been higher. We're at a historic high. So, I mean, it sort of shows you the lag in you know, where your recharge is and when we see it. So anyway, that's doing really well.
Good. Yeah.
And so I think that, I mean, that we do, but we do well for River Wellfield because we're getting 54 titles, so that's how we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And I think we're monitoring the Arrowsmith Dam because it's sort of an indicator of what the Englishman's going to look like. Snowpacks are high. Reservoir levels are necessary, I guess.
Right.
I can report back on that, too.
Sure.
More information.
That would be great. Yeah, I think we had that really, like, late summer and then right into snow, and so there hasn't been a lot of that.
Well, see, one of the problems with Arrowsmith is it freezes over and we don't really get the benefit of it recharging with rainfall.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway,
okay, the only thing I was going to mention maybe under new business is that I attended the Sustainable Communities Conference, and so on the town's website there is an overview, so key takeaways. So if anybody wants to go onto the website under Reading Room, Council, anyways, there is a PowerPoint presentation which talks about the different sessions that were held and some of the resources and the speakers and whatnot. So if anyone's interested in and reviewing that information, I think it was a good conference. So, yeah. Anybody else have any new business? Nope. Okay. Future agenda items and discussion. Well, I guess watershed protection, and then well, we'll see what council says about where we go from here.
TBA.
To be determined. Anyone, and then we still have our field trips on the agenda too, holding a spot, placeholder there, so. Okay, so adjournment. We need a motion to adjourn. David? Seconder, I guess we don't really need a seconder, but Greg, sounds good. Okay, the meeting is adjourned at 4:15. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great.